Welcome to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I'm your host, Erica Rothenberger, and I'm so excited for you to join me and my amazing guests every week as you learn how to get gritty, how to give yourself the grace that you deserve, and to celebrate all the glitz that comes to you along the way. Are you ready to unlock your potential? Let's do this. Hello, hello, everyone. I just wanted to welcome you all to one of my favorite places to hang out, and that is a Grit, Grace, and Glitz. This podcast where I want you to be gritty, I want you to give yourself the grace that you know you deserve, and I want you to celebrate all the glitz that you have going on in your life today, tomorrow, and what's to come, because you are all amazing. And speaking of amazing, we literally could not ask for a better guest today. Jill Murray is with me today, and she truly is a sponsor, a role model, a friend, just someone I have grown to just absolutely adore in so many capacities of my life. She's not only that to me, but she also is an award-winning author. She's a journalist. She's a communication expert, a TEDx speaker, and she's the founder of Let Go For It. It's a lifestyle brand aimed for improving people's situation through simple mantra of letting go. Her TED Talks, The Unstoppable of Letting Go, has had millions of views on it. And it breaks down her own journey of letting go to be successfully at moving forward in her life. So not only that, I mean, you guys think I should stop there. She's also the best-selling author of The Big Wild Love, The Unstoppable Power of Letting Go. For many people who reach out to her all around the world for advice and inspiration, from her TED Talk to her book. And she also has done comedy in Second City training in Chicago, where she lived for a while. She wrote a popular blog called Diary of a Writer in the Midlife Crisis. And she's just also in Shape Magazine 12 different times as part of her long-term assignment to document her weight loss journey for millions of readers. I am exhausted just thinking of everything that she does. This woman is absolutely amazing. Jill, we are so excited to have you today. I could go on and on with all of your accolades and everything above, but I say we just get deep and dirty into all of these questions and start to share all of your knowledge with everyone.
Well, welcome. That's quite an introduction, Erica. I would expect no less. I would expect no less from you. And I'm so happy to be here. I have to say, I love like grit, grace, and glitz. I had to write it down because we talked before the show and I'm fasting right now and I'm coming off of COVID. So I'm a little brain foggy. So you're going to get a lot more from me than you probably
love it. Love it. Bring it on.
But I love it because that is life. It is a combination of all three of those things if we're doing it right.
Absolutely. And you personify that. But I think we have to remember, especially, I know we have both males and female viewers, but especially for us females, we put so much pressure on ourselves, right? To always be gritty. And we got to remember that second G, and that's the grace. And I purposely wrote it that way because most of us do. We go after the grit and go after the grind and make things happen. But if we're not giving ourselves that grace, you know what I mean? How are we ever going to celebrate the glitz and the good things that are happening in our life each and every day? That's not always easy. So speaking of you, Jill, I mean, let's face it, you have done so much and people look at your accolades and they see your book and they see you on TED Talks and they see millions of views and we're blown away. But I know you've also had some wall kicking moments with your own journey. When you find yourself like, you know, having those moments or in that stuck period, or maybe even periods of your life prior to all of these accolades, maybe a listener's on right now saying, oh, I wish I could be more like Jill. Any advice that you have or tips that you'd be willing to share?
Okay. So, well, the first thing I do, Erica, is I get right in the bathroom with a large bag of cookies and a box of tissues. Because I'm always hiding from my dogs. So I go in there and I like, I have all of my feelings, whatever is happening. I don't care if it's wrong to feel sad. I don't care if it's, there's like no right or wrong. There's no like buck up, pull up. Like if something happens that's upsetting to me, I don't go straight to like, come on, pull up, Jill. I go right into the bathroom with cookies and a box of tissues because I need to like feel it as if I am in like a telemundo or a telenova where like all the drama, I have to go back to high school to all the mean girls, like everything that's ever happened to me comes up while I'm eating the cookies. And I just go there because that is such an important part of life. It is the way we find our way to grace, is to crawl inside of that human part of ourselves, which feels sad and feels bad and feels all that stuff when, you know, life lets us down. And then I vent text my friend, because I have one friend on earth and she does the same thing for me, where no matter what is happening at light in life, I can pick up my phone and text her any of my real honest thoughts and never be judged for them and only get back a, I love you, you look really thin today. Or some other such
thing. We all need those friends, right? And I say sometimes you need a board of them. Sometimes you need a board of directors because if that friend's not available, totally. Sometimes you need the second lineup.
Totally. And then, Erica, I clean up my act.
Yeah.
Right. And then I start. So you'll love this. The first way that I clean up my act is I clean up my act. So I start to, you know, clean up my diet. And I start to walk more and I start to meditate and I start to feel like, how can I feel, you know, better in my body? And how can I get into stillness that gives me the perspective I need? And then I get into my letting go process because I need to understand, what about the experience that has just happened to me or has me in a funk? What about it has me holding on to some negative emotion or a sense of something being wrong. So I need to really understand like what is keeping me grounded and attached to that. And then how do I go through my letting go process, which is really about understanding the things that are happening and why they're affecting me, how they're affecting me. What is an epiphany that I need to have that will allow me to even go deeper into those feelings and be productive about them. So when I like reach up out of that funk, I'm ready to say, okay, this is what happened to me. And this is how I feel about it. And this is what I want. And that's the way forward. And now that I have dealt with what's happened to me and how I feel about it and what it means for me, that epiphany, like I talk about in my TED talk, you know, when I looked at the relationship that wasn't going where I wanted it to go, and I had to finally let go of it. But we've all had to let go in COVID. So like, what are the things, and we've all, you know, experienced trauma and being in funks or losing things as a result. And so I think we're all collectively kind of figuring out what is the way forward. And the way forward is really to extract that epiphany from the experience. What did you get to learn from it? And how do you feel about it? And then what do you want now? And how can you move forward? And that's what I do. I go through that whole process, cookies and tissues, stillness, clean eating, walking. And then if I could have an epiphany about my situation right now, what would it be? How would I use that epiphany? And then what do I want next? Now I can move forward because I've left all that there. I've done all that work. Now,
but you've also dealt with the pain. You've dealt with the heartache. Absolutely. You've dealt with the emotion. And I think what you're saying, or what I hear you saying, articulating to people listening, is allow yourself to feel before you react, right? And so many of us, including myself, just want to react, right? We don't want to have that deep feeling. We don't want to feel yucky and like feel too vulnerable, but it's so important to allow yourself to get there. And whether it's the cookies in the bathroom floor, or it's the margarita and the chips, or it's the going out for a run, whatever your method is,
feeling. It doesn't always have to be about food.
Emotions.
Right. It doesn't always have to be about food. But I mean, I think that's the struggle you were kind of talking about when you talked about grit, grace, and glitz, like how we get so stuck in the grit. We have to keep grinding. We have to keep moving. We have to keep going forward. But no, we don't. Sometimes we need to stop and we need to allow ourselves all the stuff that we're feeling, because that's the grace. That's the grace.
And I always say, listen, we're not handed anything that we can't essentially handle. It may seem like the bottom of the bottom of the barrel, right? When we're handed a curveball or seven curveballs that we weren't expecting, but it truly is. And any of us, let's face it, can look back at any of those situations and be like, oh, that's why that happened. Or as hard as that was, I grew stronger because of that. Or, oh, that was a really shitty situation. I still think it's a shitty situation, but I moved on from it. Right. And it's going to make that next situation that could be similar to it or identical to it that much easier to overcome
or avoid
or to be able to help someone else that may be going through a similar situation, right? Like you went through a really hard, challenging breakup and a lot of other things. And you've shared that with people to remind them that letting go. And that's, you know, when I think of you and I ever see the word let go, I'm like, oh, Jill, right? What would Jill do? Jill would let this bird go. Jill would let this issue go. Jill would let that feeling go because, you know, but it doesn't, I think what you're saying is it's, looks pretty and it seems like, oh yeah, Jill just lets it go. But you have to feel it. I appreciate you being so honest and open and about that whole process point of it. So let's go on to this, Jill. If you have had the opportunity, obviously, to speak on stages, to have an amazing book, to be in corporate America, you've met a lot of phenomenal people in your trails. But if there was one person you could spend the day with, anyone, who would that be and why?
Okay, you're going to so laugh when I tell you the answer to this question.
I can't wait to hear this. I'm so excited. I've been thinking, what the heck is she going to say?
Okay. I would want to have a conversation with the fictional Mary Tyler Moore.
Oh, I wasn't expecting that, but tell me more.
Okay. You're familiar with the Mary Tyler Moore Show?
Yes.
Okay. So when I was growing up, I love my mother. I love all my aunties, you know, all the neighborhood women that helped to raise all of us neighborhood kids. But I didn't really have any like hard role models that were out in the world, that were working, that were living on their own, moving to the big city. I mean, this was my life. Like I didn't marry until I was 43. I spent all of my life being single, living in the big city, working at a job in communications. And I had no mentors. I had no counsel. I had nobody that could kind of say, you know, here are the issues and here's how to deal with them. And how do you have a job and then you dating and you're living with life on your own and you come home and the bathroom is overflowing or there's a problem or there's whatever it is. There was really no one to blaze that trail. But I will tell you, and if you talk to women of my generation, they will all be like, oh my God, yes, Mary Tyler Moore and her gang of thieves on the Mary Tyler Moore Show taught us what it was like to break the mold of our parents' generation, where the things that most women did that was most conventional was to get married young, to have a family. A lot of times, a lot of people didn't work. A lot of women weren't in the workforce. And so it was really like, I remember being like a little girl watching Mary Tyler Moore and thinking to myself, oh my God, like I want that. I want to have beads in my apartment like Rhoda did. And, you know, I want to go to a job like Mary did. I want to have friends like, you know, Sue Ann Nivens and Phyllis, even though I want to be like in community that way and have that kind of connection to other women. And it was really something. And I remember when all of those women passed, crying for each one of them because they felt so real to me and had played such a huge role in my life. So now I say that, Erica, of course, because of course there are living women and other women in my life. Like, for example, I would love to have, well, she's not alive, but I would love to talk to my grandmother, who I have her chubby arms. You know, she was a prodigy. She was a lounge act. She wrote music. She played the piano, never had a lesson in her life, wrote screenplays and articles, sent them off. She was like a prodigy, but back then in the 1940s, you know, you didn't do that. And so I would love to sit down with her. I have a picture of her on my desk. I talk to her all the time. I look at her all the time. You know, I feel so connected to her and I would love to talk to her. And the other person that I would love to talk to who is alive and very much part of our everyday vernacular is Mel Robbins. I love her. I love Mel Robbins. I admire her so much. I remember watching her years and years ago on CNN when she was a commentator. And I remember watching her TED talk. And I remember thinking to myself, if I ever gave a TED talk, I would like to do that just like Mel Robbins, because she's so authentically her. There is like no, there is like,
there's no BS around that one.
There's no BS. Like there's no line between us and her. She's just a real person. And I really admire that about her. And I, you know, I appreciate the way that she gives back. I appreciate how she is always forward thinking. I appreciate her ambition. I appreciate just so much about her. So there you go. A lot more.
Bam. I mean, I didn't know where I was going to get three out of there. And I want to meet your grandmom too.
She was really incredible. And, you know, my grandfather walked out on her and my father when she was young. So she raised a son again at a time, and she was a lounge act. So like she would leave at 5 o'clock and she would go to a bar and she would play the piano as part of an all-girl trio. And my father is extraordinary.
No, this explains a lot, Jill. I'm really understanding where you've gotten so much of your gusto. Right? Yeah. Thank you, Grandma. What was her name?
Sylvia.
Sylvia. Thank you, Grandma Sylvia. We're thinking of you up above.
We always.
Always. And you know what? I had an amazing grandma that way too. And I, you know, I had two amazing grandmothers, you know, and I think about them so often. My one grandmother passed at 95, the other one at 96. So I got them long into my life, which I'm so blessed with.
Yeah.
But, they both were really big parts of my life. You know, they both got to see my son and unfortunately not my daughter, but they both got to appreciate that. And so like, I felt like I was really, really blessed to have them in my life for as long as they did. And they've both been huge influencers in my life. And I think of them often and pray for them and just some of the lessons that they taught me. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bam. So,
yeah,
you and I talked a lot, you know, prior to this call, just catching up because, well, I just adore you. And, you know, we talked about like closing certain chapters of our lives and like, sometimes it's time to move on, but sometimes I think we, in general, I don't care, you know, if you're young, if you're old, if you're female, if you're male, if you're, you know, what you are, we get scared to close a door, right? Whether it's personal or it's business related. Is there something that you wouldn't want to share with everyone about like that lesson and letting go, how it relates to everything that you already talk about and preach about, but maybe something personal that you've had to let go?
Oh my God. How much time do you have?
I know, right? Woo.
I mean, I feel like I just actually wrote a blog about this, Erica. I'm going to answer you with this because there's so many things that I have to say about it, but I actually just wrote about a blog about this. And it's interesting because it's the blogs I think that are so important that always stop me and make me a little nervous to push like send on. But I just wrote a blog about how I hate having my picture taken. It was a title called, I titled the blog, "Please Stop Taking My Picture. Please Don't Take My Picture." And in the blog, I talk about how, you know, as someone who, and I talk about this in my book too, as someone who has, you know, body image issues, who struggled with her weight for all of her life, gone up and down, who had a very loving but critical mother who was very, you know, invested in my aesthetic appearance, my being thin, you know, being in such a picture-taking world is very triggering for people like us. And especially someone like me, you know, with my talk and my book and having to be so visible out in the world and social media and take pictures, but I can curate my pictures. I can control them. But when I'm out in the world and I'm like, and I talk about, I was going to a barbecue and I was, for the first time in a really long time, I just didn't care. Like I just threw on whatever. because I thought, I'm tired. I just had went for a long walk, and I'm not going to worry about what people think of me or how I look or whether I'm dressed appropriately for this pool party. I'm going to put, you know, body confused, body not loving, you know, Jill over here, and I'm just going to go enjoy my life today. And when I got there, the picture started. And I thought, okay, you know, that was very triggering and very scary. But you know what? I realized that other people, and I would vent that out to like other people and be like, why do we always have to be places where people are taking pictures all the time? But what I always come back to is the idea of Big Wild Love, which is the title of my book. It always brings me back to, you know, what about you do you love? What is true? The limiting beliefs. I have to be a certain size to be worthy, to feel worthy to go to a party and not have to spend a lot of time angsting over it or what I'm going to wear, or how I'm going to look, right? What are those limiting beliefs that I'm not worthy of being in a picture because I don't look my best today, because I didn't take that time, because I don't think I have a perfect body? The limiting beliefs that drag us and that stop us from pursuing the things that we want to do. And so how do we move past those limiting beliefs? And I can tell you, I had the same experience in my TED talk when I started working with a coach who said, what's one thing that is most nerve-wracking to you about giving this TED talk? And it wasn't getting on that stage in front of all those cameras. It wasn't getting on that stage and feeling nervous about giving my message. It was, I don't want people to think I look fat. That's the one thing that would have stopped me. But because I understood how that idea of that lives in my body, I was able to say to the pictures and the barbecue and the TED talk, nope, you know what? I'm just going to, again, pick you up and put you over here today. Yep. So, you know, we talk a lot about limiting beliefs and we talk about that fueling fear or whatever, insecurity, imposter syndrome, or even the deep issues we have inside of us. You know what? We don't have to entirely let them go. Because mm-hmm. we have some beliefs we may never let go.
Yeah, you're right.
What we can do, and this is so important to me to say, is what we can do is that we can be aware of them and we cannot let them get in our way.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if I'm answering your question.
No, you're answering my question. And I'm actually so glad you brought this topic up, Jill, because Wednesday night, one of my girlfriends came over. Our boys were at football with my husband and she brought her son and her daughter over to play with my daughter. And long story short, we were sitting there, we're talking. She was like, oh, only. And I mean, if you saw her, anyone else would be like, really? After I made this comment, she's like, oh, man, my stomach, like, you know, if only like it, I didn't have like this extra little, I'm like, you have three beautiful children. I was like, listen, I was like, why in America does everything have to get related back to, because in the first 7 seconds, we judge someone, right? And most of us judge them about the way that they look, the lipstick that they have on, and the size of their body, right?
Right.
And it's a shame that there's not something that pops up that says, hey, she's a top TED Talks and she wrote a book and her IQ is this and she has the most glowing personality. And I'm describing all the things about you, Jill, right? That come up first for people to know, right? And it's a shame that we live in a society, right or wrong, but it is the way that it is. And I think it's going to be the way that it is for a long time, if not indefinitely, that is like the first entryway, or what I'll say, you know, gateway when we meet someone. And that we as society have put such an equation to worth on the number that's on the scale, the size that's on the back of their jeans, the, you know what I mean? The, how, you know, how many pounds that they've lost. And it's like, and I said to her, I was like, stop. I was like, for someone that suffered with an eating disorder for years and will always have issues with food, quite frankly, it's one of the reasons I believe so much in wellness and healthy ways.
I'm with you on that. Right.
I'd rather have the extra 10 pounds on my two thighs because that's where I hold my weight than to not have all of the other wonderful characteristics I have, right? I work out every day. I eat healthy 80% of the time. I have good mindset. I have my health. I have my family. I'm like, listen, I am so blessed.
But you try to get Erica, to like,
listen, I got to compare myself to Betty, who, you know what I mean? Like, okay, but you know what? Betty doesn't have XYZ.
But even if you didn't do all those things, even right. if you didn't do all those things. Like, again, this is the grace part. Like, it doesn't matter. It's not supposed to matter. It's a conscious choice that we need to learn to make for ourselves. It's the self-dialogue. It's the things that we say in our heads. Like, you know what? I could decompose for 5 years and I'm still never going to look like you, Erica. It's just not going to happen because I'm me and I have to love that, all the things about myself. And I do. And that's those moments when other people's voices are in my head or society's pressures are in my head, or there's another, you know, things from my childhood or the things that we think we believe need to be true in order for us to do X, Y, and Z. That's when we need to stop and remember that big wild love piece, which is no, that's only true if I say it's true. Amen. That's only true if I allow it to be true.
Yep.
There's the other truth, all the things that you just said. There's also the truth of, you know, my body is perfect just the way that it is. Mm-hmm. There's the truth that it doesn't even matter. Right. There's truth that I can go and be joyful while people are taking my picture. I can yep. choose that for myself. Those are the choices. We can be two things at the same time.
And isn't that a beautiful thing that we have that choice? Right?
Right.
You, the only right. person that can make that decision is you looking in the mirror.
I can choose to say, I'm someone that has this issue, but not today. Mm-hmm. And maybe not tomorrow. And maybe I'm wrong about that issue. And maybe, just maybe, you know, I'm the cutest one in this photo. And even if I wasn't the cutest one in this photo, I'm having a darn good time squeezing the butt of the person next to me while I'm taking the photo. Mm-hmm. Like, we get to choose all of this for ourselves. And so if we can catch ourselves in that moment with that limiting belief driving the bus, and we can say, nope, I'm going to drive it.
Yep. Yep. Conscious. And you know what? But I want to remind anyone that's listening to this, that is a built muscle. That doesn't just happen. Like, Jill just didn't go to that workout that day and was like, bam. It's because she's had a lot of other experiences that have led her to that point. So if you're listening right now and you're like, well, that's not just a switch, Jill or Erica, right? You're right. Good. I'm glad you're saying that to yourself, because this does take time. It's a process. It's something you need to work through. And whether that's talking to someone else, whether that's therapy, whether that's reading, whether that's writing, whether that's journaling, whatever that is for you, working through those. But remembering, when you look in the mirror every day, you are the only one that has the choices on those reactions, right? You can't change anyone else around you, but you can change yourself and those reactions. And I think that's really, really important to remember. You know, Jill, you know, you've also talked a lot about, you know, your life. You've been through ups and downs and goods and bads and all this sort of stuff. And we've talked a lot about, you know, fear. You know, you've overcome so much, but, you know, anything that you can help for, like, our listeners today that may be struggling, you know, with fear, with going after it, with being big, wild, and loving, and, you know, with being gritty and graceful and glitzy and, like, just being able to be authentically you, what piece of advice would you give them?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I just have to say this, Erica, I love what you're saying, and I love how you're caveating this for people, because you're right. It is a practice. It is a practice. It's like weightlifting. It's like getting our muscles in shape. We don't just flip the switch and all of a sudden letting go is easy, or all the things that we've been holding on to for all of our lifetime, all of a sudden they evaporate. They don't. And I even say this in my piece, you know, I long thought I was done with worrying about how I looked in a picture until that day when, boom, there it was again, that limiting belief. Like, we are never done. These things come up over our lifetime, and we just have to be aware of them. And, you know, it's the same thing with fear. Right. So we are, sorry. So if you think about the cavemen, right?
I was going to say, that's the remnants of her COVID.
No, I'm sorry.
And the salt.
And the salt. And the salt. That's right.
I love that. that though. See, this is so real. This is when we get gritty, right? Like dealing with real life stuff, right? Like I always say that, right? My kids will be in the background screaming or like, you know, something happens. And I'm like, listen, I'm not going to try to, I listened to one of my last podcasts. I'm like, you can hear Adeline in the background, like talking to her dolls. And I'm like, you know what? This is the beauty of it. And right. Like, I'm not going to try to like fade it out or try to say, oh, I'm going to re-record it. No, this is part of our life.
This is part of our life. Totally.
Right.
Yeah. My husband's been sawing something. I hope it's not a dead body down there for like 20 minutes. And I'm like texting him, like, please, can you stop? Cause I can hear you and it's distracting. But, you know, so, you know, about fear, like if you think about the cavemen, right? Like they were hunters and gatherers. Like they went out, they were probably afraid, but if they didn't do it anyway, they didn't eat. So we're wired for safety. We are hardwired for safety. So the fact that we, and I think I read a study once that says that we're wired to go to like negative places to be afraid because it's about survival. It's about being a biological
animal. Maslow's law, right?
Right.
I mean, or Darwin, survival of the fittest, right?
Exactly. So there's no shame in that game that we all have fear. But when you have big wild love, which to be clear is understanding those limiting beliefs and loving yourself enough to take the risks that are involved in letting go of that fear or letting go of that relationship or letting go of that job or that limiting belief or that friend or that emotion or whatever it is that is standing between us here or there, what is standing between where we want to go. When you have the belief system that you can do it because all you need is you, that's what big wild love is the sense of safety we get from loving and understanding ourselves that allows us to take the risks we need to take to let go for the things we want most in life. And it works because we love and honor ourselves enough that we know that no matter what happens to us in our life, we will always be okay. Yes, I'm afraid to leave that 12-year relationship. What's going to happen to me? I'm going to be alone. Yeah, it's going to be hard. But you know what? I'm going to be okay because I have me. And I know how to take care of me. I know how to make choices for myself. Going back out into the dating world, that is scary. But you know what? I have me. And I'm resilient. And I'm smart. And I know how to make good choices for myself. And I get to choose what happens to me. I'm going to leave.
You know what? But you know what's also scarier? Staying in that stuck relationship, staying in that no end, like dead end job, staying in that friendship that's
where you don't belong,
and waking up 10 years later and saying, "What if?" Right? That's a way bigger regret than making that, having that fearful time or making that change.
Totally, because it's a choice.
Yes,
it's still a choice.
Yep,
choosing to stay here because you're afraid. You're not worthy to go here. Or, you know, I've sat, and I'm sure you can relate to this. I've sat in so many meetings in corporate thinking, I don't really think that's a good idea, but I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Like everybody else likes it. Maybe I don't trust myself to say something because maybe I'm missing something until the day when I sat in a meeting, I'll never forget it. And I was like, no, I'm smart. And this is a bad idea. And I'm going to say it in a diplomatic, professional, you know, right way. But it's like you really have to trust that. Ask yourself if you are not letting go to move forward. Ask yourself, why? Why am I choosing this thing that is not getting me where I want to go? Why am I afraid to actually claim where I want to go? To say out loud to whoever, I want that promotion. Or to say to someone, you know what? This needs to be about me. I need to set a boundary here.
Yes.
Say,
and let me ask you a question. Friend. After you did that in that corporate meeting, how great did it feel? Regardless of how it was taken, the fact that you spoke your truth, didn't that feel liberating?
I'll tell you what. Yes and no. It was like on scary. The one hand, I felt... But, you know, and this is a great point. I'm glad you asked me that question, because when we start letting go of things, we start putting a little bit more pressure on ourselves.
Right.
Because we know what the right thing is. And so now if we're not doing it, now we're asking ourselves, we're in the slippery slope world of berating ourselves for not taking action or having regrets or looking backward or questioning, second guessing ourselves. So it's like, once I knew that I had that capability to speak up and not be afraid anymore, that like opened the floodgates, right? Because now I was like,
oh no, here she comes. Like she's not gonna be that church mouse anymore.
It puts you into another place in your life where there's other things that you need to start to consider about yourself and your choices. And I think there's a lot of reasons why, Erica, people don't let go, because it moves you. It places more, you know, pressure on you to keep going. It initiates change. It initiates growth. It initiates evolution. And not everybody wants to or is ready to go there. And so again, as we're hardwired for safety, I'm going to stay with this boyfriend who's not giving me anything I want because I know it. It's safe. Yep. And what if I let it go and there's nothing behind it? We're not asking the question, what if I let it go? And there's the thing I actually want outside the door that I've kept locked for however much time.
Right.
We're asking that, you know,
I'm scared to look on the other side of that door. What, you know what I mean? And then sometimes it's the best thing, could be waiting.
That's right. Like, I remember having a conversation with my father. And I was moving to Chicago and I was scared. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have a job. And I said, I remember saying to him, what if I fail? And he was like, what if you succeed?
What if you fly, my dear? What if you fly? I love it. Bam.
Yeah.
So, bam. It's so true.
And guys, that's why we need to like get into our own selves. It's never about what's happening out there. It's always about our big wild love. It's always about our limiting beliefs. And the way those limiting beliefs are driving everything and every choice and every emotion that we're having.
And we all have them. And don't be ashamed of them. Like every single person, like, you know, I don't care who you are, what celebrity, what political figure you are, everyone has self-limiting beliefs. We all face it and can struggle or triumph from it every single day. And don't be ashamed when you have those feelings creep into your life. It's then how you deal with them and how they can become less severe, right?
And you know, Erica, that you can also have those limiting beliefs. And then as time goes on, or you have new experiences, or you get older, or whatever, you get new ones. Right? As I was getting older and I moved back here before I met my husband, I thought, gosh, am I too old to find love? That was new.
Right.
So, we have life experiences, not unlike the one that, you know, you've just been through in your life. I'm sure there are things that you might take away from that. That you would have before that might look like limiting beliefs. But the trick really is to just be aware of them. People think you have to like revise them all. You don't. You just have to be aware of them so they don't get in your way. It's like you don't want to stumble over a boulder. So just at least see the boulder. If you can't move it to the side or it's too heavy to pick up, at least see it so you can walk around it and keep moving forward.
Yes. Bam. Guys, move the boulder, right? Move the boulder.
Yes, look at the boulder.
If there's anything we're going to leave you guys with today, it's move the boulder out of your life. Move those self-limiting beliefs because they're there. And you know what? Pretty soon that boulder will become a large rock, and that large rock will become a small rock, and that small rock will become a pebble, and then it will become a stone, and then it will become a grain of salt of sand. And you know, really, that's the way that I've seen limited beliefs, because I used to have a lot of limiting beliefs on certain things that have just become, now I don't even think twice about them, right? It's not that the boulders don't continue to show up every once in a while, right?
Right.
But they're far and fewer between. The wall's not as thick. Totally. And that is a beautiful thing. Jill, now I'm so glad. I am so excited to bring your wisdom, your knowledge, your just gusto to Grit, Grace, and Glitz. I mean, we are so blessed to have you here today. My listeners are so lucky. Guys, you have to go and follow Jill. All of her information is in the show notes. She is, like I said, not only an author, you're going to go watch her TED Talks. She has another book that's going to be coming out. I mean, she is just a woman on the watch to be aligned with, but most importantly, just a really amazing friend and human being. So Jill, I'm so glad you joined us today. Anything last you want to leave us with just your sprinkle of golden magic dust?
Okay, first of all, back to you on every single solitary thing you just said about me. I love you. I adore you. And what I want to say is that if you are stuck anywhere in your life, anywhere, you don't have to stay there. You can choose to let go and move forward. And you absolutely must. Bam.
Bam. There she goes.
Do it. Just
move forward.
Let go for it. That's what I say.
I love it. Love it. Well, guys, there you go. Thank you for joining Grit, Grace, and Bliss. Send this to someone else. Put a comment in there. Share this because people need to hear it. They need to remember why we are here, to be gritty, to give ourselves that grace, and to go out there and celebrate the glitz in not only our lives, but so many other people's lives. So there we have it. Jill Murray, thank you for joining us today. Thank you all for listening and have the most blessed and beautiful day. Signing off from Grit, Grace, and Glitz. Have a great day, guys.
I hope you learned a lot from today's episode, and I cannot wait for you to catch our next episode. I'll see you back here next time on an all-new episode of Grit, Grace, and Glitz.